Thanks, Brother David, and good morning, my dear beloved brothers and sisters and young people and friends. It's good to be with you this morning, whether you're on Zoom or in the hall. And I must admit, it's very good to be with you in the hall to see all your faces and to enjoy the contact with each other. So thank you for having us this morning. We're going to take our theme from a discourse that Jesus had yesterday's reading. If you turn to Luke chapter 10, discourse in the house of Martha. And there's one verse there that I think is appropriate for us. And we find in Luke chapter 10 and verse 42. Jesus says, but one thing is needful. And that's the theme for this morning. One thing is needful. And Jesus says, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. But let's just look at verse 38 as we get introduced to this little section here. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village. And Luke, quite often when he says a certain village or a certain person, he's bringing our attention to something. We know from other parts of the scripture that that certain village was Bethany. And Bethany featured quite a lot in the work and the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. It was a special place, I believe, for him. Now, Bethany itself was located on the Mount of Olives to the east of Jerusalem, and the scriptures tell us it was about 2 miles. It was a Sabbath day's journey. So it was a good base for the Lord to go from Jerusalem and to Bethany, and particularly in the last week of his ministry, that was most important for him. But we read that Jesus encountered a certain woman named Martha. And she received him into her house. So it would appear that it was, as it says, it was her house. She was the mistress of the house and had the control and the care of her household. We know she shared that house with Mary and Lazarus. And we think when Jesus come here, I believe the invitation was sent out prior to this, that she would be preparing herself and her household. And that perhaps explains her frame of mind. After all, if the Messiah was going to come to your house, and possibly the 12 as well, quite a big band, and by this time, Jesus was now into his last year of his ministry, his fame had gone abroad throughout all the land. And no doubt there will be perhaps some crowds outside of her house as well. So we can see the scene for Martha. She was going to have the Lord of all the earth come into her house. And in verse 39, Jesus has obviously gone into the house and perhaps been settled down, and Martha is doing what she needed to do. But we see that verse 39, she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. And there's wonderful exhortation in that, isn't it, brothers and sisters? That's what we should be doing, shouldn't we? Whenever we get opportunity to be at the Lord's feet, well, how can we do that? He's not here. Well, we've got the words, haven't we? The Spirit has given us the word of truth. We have his words with us. And we come this morning around the emblems to share bread and wine. So we can be at Jesus' feet at anywhere and at any time, really. And the point is to hear the word and to do it, isn't it? It's worth noting, it's quite interesting that Jesus was comfortable to come into the house of a woman, because the culture at that time was that men did not speak to women, particularly rabbis, teachers, did not speak to women directly face to face. But the gospel message is for all, isn't it? There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither male nor female. So Jesus was ahead of his time. God is all inclusive, isn't he? It's interesting that there's no mention of Lazarus here. Whether he was there or not, we don't know. But the focus is on particularly Martha and Mary. So we see, don't we, verse 40, Martha was cumbered about much serving. And clearly she would be, wouldn't she? You know, it was a great occasion for her. So she was coming about with many things. Her mind clearly was on lots of things at that particular point. And it was through much serving we read there. But there's a remarkable discourse now. Martha came to Jesus and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Now, I don't know about you or I, but if the Lord came in, we wouldn't be speaking in that tone of voice to him, would we? But I think Jesus knew Mary and Martha and Lazarus before this occasion. I'm sure that they were familiar with each other, and that Martha felt comfortable, albeit perhaps misplaced, to speak to the Lord in this manner. I'm sure it wouldn't be in an aggressive manner, but to, Lord, can you bid Mary to come and help me, please? I'm trying to prepare a meal for you. Now, we can't really tell from the narrative whether Mary had been helping at this point before Jesus came, and then when Jesus came in, she was at his feet and listening. It's not clear. But what is clear is that Mary was at the feet, and Martha was very busy. But I think the reaction by Jesus was also interesting. He could have taken offense by that, couldn't he? We recall the time when Simon Peter said something against the Lord and Jesus rebuked him. Get behind me, Satan. But here, it's a bit more personal, I think. He says, isn't he? Verse 41, Martha, Martha. Jesus knew all things. He knew where Martha's heart was. He knew she was preparing a feast for the Lord and for the disciples. He knew he was doing a good work for her. She was ministering to the Lord. But Jesus wanted to make the point that he says, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Now, we know from John, we have this record when John says, now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So this was the spirit of fellowship, the spirit of friendship that was going on, I believe, in this account here. But I'd like us to just to pick up on the words careful there in verse 41. Jesus picks it out. Thou art careful and troubled about many things. It's often been translated as being anxious. But it's from a family of words, and the root of that family is the idea of to have a part or a share or a division. I think what Jesus is saying is, yes, you have many things on your mind, but there's one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, says Jesus. Martha's attention was distracted by the many things. I don't think Jesus was saying that you shouldn't be ministering to me, you shouldn't be preparing the meal, you shouldn't be making me welcome. I don't think he was saying that. He said, that is all appropriate. But there's one thing, Martha, in all of that. Just consider Mary. She's chosen that good part. We mentioned the root word earlier. This is that root word. So Jesus is perhaps using these words particularly, that Mary had chosen the good part. Martha was troubled about many things. She was distracted. And I weep like that, brothers and sisters. Don't we get distracted, whether we're at work or at home, sometimes in the meeting, get the meeting set up. Sometimes we can get caught up in the things that we're doing, and it's all for a good purpose. But sometimes forget the reason why we're perhaps seeing our mind wanders on different things. We become distracted. But one thing is needful. We need to focus, don't we, on why we're here and why we came. And in fact, really, although Martha was preparing a meal, Jesus also came preparing a meal, didn't he? It was there was a feast on the Spirit Word. And I think that was the point that Jesus was making to Martha. Feed on my word. Now, just to give an exhortation based upon these things about being distracted, if you just turn over a couple of pages to Luke chapter 12, this is an exhortation, and perhaps he gave it for Martha particularly, but we're all Marthas, aren't we, at times, brothers and sisters? So it's applicable for all of us here. Just thinking about this idea of being distracted from the one needful thing. Verse 22 of Luke chapter 12. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought. And that's the word we're looking at. Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Now, as Jesus said, we shouldn't worry about what we eat, what we drink. We shouldn't plan for that. Take no thought for the morrow, Jesus said earlier in his ministrations, in the Sermon on the Mount. No, I think what he's saying is there's one needful thing of all that. Yes, we need to prepare. Martha needs to prepare a meal to have for Jesus. So I don't think Jesus is saying is take no thought for these things. I think what he's saying is out of all these parts in your life, one thing is needful. And he continues in verse 25 with quite an extraordinary statement, really. He says, and which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Can we make ourselves taller by thinking about it? Excuse me. Well, clearly we can't, can we? I think what Jesus is saying is, don't worry about things that you've got no control over. And we do, don't we? We worry about many things that might happen. But quite often, they don't happen, do they? And we've wasted that energy. And so verse 29, in this chapter, Jesus concludes this little section, "And seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful minds. Be focused on the one thing that's needful." Verse 30, "For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather, seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." What a wonderful message this is, brothers, isn't it? That it's God's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. Yes, we do fail from time to time. Yes, we don't focus on the things that we should from time to time. But Jesus' exhortation is, try as best you can to be focused on the one thing that's needful. Now, time was short for the Lord. His whole life was mapped out from the birth to the resurrection to the ascension. Jesus' life was mapped out day by day. He knew the hour when everything was going to happen. And yet it took time to be in Mary and Martha's house. There is a time, isn't there, for us all to keep silent and a time to speak. And Jesus said to the disciples many times and those around him, you will not always have the bridegroom with you. So again, I think the lesson is we need to make the time, don't we, while we have opportunity to give our undivided attention to spiritual matters, to be at the Lord's feet. That doesn't necessarily mean an in-depth study of the word, but it does mean to be thinking about the word, to meditating upon the word, that our minds can be active in these things, that we should seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Now, it's often said, are we a Mary? Are we a Martha? As though one was better or different to another. And I think, actually, the true answer is we should be both, shouldn't we? We should be listening to the word. We should be studious. But we've also got the minister. Because if nobody ministered, we wouldn't be here this morning. The table wouldn't be prepared. Things that have gone and been planned. So I think we should be Mary and Martha together as wonderful examples. So I think it's an unfair comparison to use this account here to say Martha was not as spiritually discerned as perhaps as Mary was. Her faith was strong. And I think that's best exhibited if you turn with me. I just want to pick a few verses from John's Gospel, John chapter 11. Now this account, I think, will be familiar to most of us. It's the account of Lazarus being sick and Jesus delaying coming to Bethany, where they were, Lazarus and the family. He deliberately delayed his coming that Lazarus would die and Jesus could show the power of God to resurrect him. And so we see 11 verse 1 for context. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And as we said in verse 5, now Jesus, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But the news had got back to Martha that the Lord hadn't come at this point. Lazarus had died. And we see in verse 19 that many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, she went out and meet him. Martha reminds me a lot like Simon Peter, doesn't it? He's out there, he's doing his inaction, he's running for the Lord. And I think Martha is of that same mold. But we notice there that Mary sat still in the house. Then we have a little discourse here where Martha shows and exhibits her wonderful faith that she had. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother hadn't died. But I know even now that whatsoever thou shalt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha at this point didn't really understand that Lazarus was going to be raised now. Jesus was the resurrection and the life. So Martha says, verse 24, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She knew her scriptures, didn't she? She clearly heard the teaching of Jesus prior to all of this. As we said, Jesus says, verse 25, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this, Martha? He said, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Now, Jesus asked this question of the disciples, didn't he, previous to this? Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And the people couldn't answer it. Some say John the Baptist, others said Elias, or maybe one of the prophets that had risen from the dead. But Martha knew the answer. Her faith was strong, and it was about to be made stronger as she would reflect afterwards when Lazarus was raised. Just to note in verse 32, that when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet again. What's interesting here, though, I think, while we're here, brothers and sisters, is verse 35, that Jesus looked around and he said he wept. Now, clearly he loved this family, and they were all upset. But Jesus knew he was going to raise Lazarus, and he would see their joy in a matter of moments. So why did he weep? Well, I think he knew there was one needful thing, and that was for him to be crucified and to be scourged and to be sorely punished. And I think perhaps Jesus could see what was coming as he looked at Lazarus, who was dead, to be resurrected. And he saw that, and perhaps that emotion was all drawn into that as well. We remember the words of the writer of the Hebrews, that through strong crying and tears, and perhaps that's reflecting this part here. Should we turn back to Luke, brothers and sisters, and Luke 22 this time? Just pick up a few points to bring our thoughts to a conclusion, and we think about the emblems. We know from Scripture that the last week of Jesus's ministry, from the sixth day before the Passover to the end, that Jesus daily was going from Jerusalem to Bethany. Matthew tells us that he lodged in Bethany. Now, we don't know if he lodged in Martha's house, but I think it would be hardly likely that it would be. This house was a haven for him, a shelter against the storm of the things that were coming in Jerusalem. And Bethany is a wonderful metaphor for the ecclesia, isn't it, brothers and sisters? Both in our homes, that our home should be a shelter against the storm of the things happening in the world outside. And our ecclesial home, as we gather together, it should be a shelter for us, isn't it? That we can leave those things outside and be a family together, loving one another, as Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. But as we think in Luke chapter 22 and verse 39 now, the supper has ended, they've gone out. They've gone to the garden. So verse 39, we read these words. And he came out and went, as he was wont, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. Again, don't be distracted. It was going to be an awful series of events where the disciples were going to forsake Jesus and leave. But he's trying to encourage them, even now in the garden, don't be distracted. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. And then he went on a little way, and in verse 42, we read these words, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Jesus' mind would perhaps be in a turmoil as well, perhaps a bit like Martha's. What was going to happen? Did he want to do these things? He knew what was coming, but he'd chosen the good part, hadn't he? The one needful thing. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. But it wasn't easy, even though an angel strengthened him, verse 43. The words in verse 44, he was in an agony. He prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Sometimes we take for granted that Jesus had everything in control, and he did, but he was tested right to the limit here, wasn't he? There'd been many things swirling around. He knew what was coming. He could almost hear the marching of the soldiers coming to get him, but he focused, didn't he? There was one needful thing. That was to do God's will. He was to be the salvation of the whole world. And we read through the rest of the gospel, which we won't look at now, but we're familiar with it throughout all the trials, the scourgings, the mockings. Jesus just focused on the one thing that was needful for him to be without sin, to usher in a new age for the kingdom of God. And so Jesus was crucified, he was resurrected. And just pick up our last quotation here, and right at the end of Luke's gospel, Luke 24. Jesus spent time with his disciples before he was to be taken up into heaven. It's appropriate, isn't it? Verse 50, where we find him. And Jesus led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. At this wonderful place of refuge, a place where he'd spent many times with Mary and Martha and the disciples. So it's a wonderful place, but it's the same place we read in Acts that this same Jesus shall come back in like manner to the earth, to the same spot, I believe. But while we wait, brothers and sisters, let us wait with patience as we're looking for the return of the Master. Let's do it with the one needful thing, with careful attention to the things we do, our undivided attention. And we pray Jesus will soon appear. And like he was invited, he was received by Martha into her house. We pray that soon we'll be invited into his house in the kingdom of God.